Welcome to Meeple, uniting players around the world. A 30-minute exploration of PJ and Gareth's board game experiences from across both sides of the Atlantic. Each episode, they share their thoughts and opinions on the world of board games, including their favourite themes, games, hot topics, and much, much more.
Hey, and welcome to episode 32. I'm PJ.
And I'm Gareth.
And today, it's Board Gamer in Focus. At Board Game Fanatic, are you a fanatic? Our guest for today, Diz, welcome. We're glad to have you. How are you?
Hello, I'm super good, thank you. Super excited to be here.
Thanks. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm probably more excited than you are.
This is another Instagram, I guess, friendship that's happened over the last couple of years, but I'm lucky enough to live near Diz, so I get to hang out with Diz quite regularly. And PJ, you've been chatting to Diz for quite a while.
Yep.
Across Instagram.
It's interesting because I got to know the two of you separate from one another, even though y'all live like right around the block or the bay, as it were. Yeah.
Or the channel. Or the coastline. Channel. I don't know. Yeah. It's across all the other side of water anyway.
On a map, it looks like a bay, and y'all live on either side of it. That's all I know.
It's a beautiful stretch of ocean.
And a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, that's right.
And beautiful gaming. And I guess today's show is really just exploring Dizzy's background in board gaming. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we hear some tales of her favorite games. Why gaming's important to you, Diz. So shall we start with a little introduction about yourself and how you got into gaming?
Yeah, I mean, I think similar to a lot of people in the community, this was my childhood with all the classics. I think we all grew up with a bit of Scrabble, a bit of Monopoly, maybe a bit of Rummy Cub. And I was really lucky to have parents that really joined in and helped me with the hobby. But I only came into the world of adult board gaming kind of a few years ago. I was invited to a work games night and I was like, wow, you know, what's this going to be? And I turned up and we played Dinogenics, which was incredible. For anyone that doesn't know, it's a worker placement. You play tiny little dinosaurs and build your own kind of Jurassic Park situation. If you don't do enough to maintain them, they will eat your visitors. It's quite ruthless and really super enjoyable. I had the best time and I came out and I was like, I'm going to buy this game. So got introduced to the world of both board gaming and Kickstarter in one night and found out I couldn't buy it. I know. My first real like big board game. So luckily they did do a reprint and luckily it is in my collection now, which I like to show off quite a lot. But for me, that was the real start of everything. And that board game group that I was with through work, I learned a lot of games like Caverna, Subterra, and just got involved in so many different kind of modern classics that I never had exposure to before. I then met my partner, Sam, who also attended the same group. So we had a love of board games that we could celebrate together. And it's meant that I know. I never thought I'd be the person to have my own collection because I just didn't think I would be someone who would kind of have anyone to share that with. And I was always going to be kind of living off other people's games. And as you can probably tell by my Instagram account, everything has taken a turn. We now have, over 350 games, including expansions in our collection. So it really escalated, helped by the pandemic and helped by a board gaming relationship, which is incredible.
That's great. How many years ago was that? Was that two or three? Are we talking just prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, I think about 2018 started playing. Sort of that was Dinogenics year. And then, yeah, I think the collection started late 2019 and built up to what it is today. So Sam actually came into the relationship with some board games to start us off, one of which is Terraforming Mars, is now my favorite games. So, yeah, and then it's just gone a bit mad since then.
And through that, so in the last, I guess that's 5 years, how has your gaming pattern change or the games you enjoy? Because I haven't played Dynagetics, and I know we need to play that. Is that quite a complicated game?
No. No. At the time, I was like, wow, there's so much to this. Like, the workers, there's cards, there's little dino meeples. And then I think, like you say, you start refining your taste. And yeah. I very much found, I thought worker placement was my number one, but really engine building, resource management, really tight games are probably my sweet spot. Generally, those are quite a lot of competition. And so, you know, things like Lacerda have definitely ended up coming a lot higher on my list overall. But Dynagenics did then release an expansion. And I think that's been one of the really cool things about some of the games that I liked at the start. There's been stuff that's come out that's made them bigger, better, more complex, like added more variability. So even some of the games, I mean, even Terraforming Mars, like I love that as a game. Had we not then got Prelude, had we not then got Colonies, had we not then, you know, got the extra cards and things, we got Venus next. Right. So it kind of, and we did it bit by bit. So that game has literally grown with us through our relationship. It's like each year it's just got that tiny bit bigger, that tiny bit different. And, you know, I think we're at a point now where it will probably stay as it is, maybe, because I don't know how many more cards we can fit in the box. But yeah, I think you definitely, you work out what you love. I know that when we started, we were very much reliant on the Board Game Geek Top 100 to kind of direct us in, you know, what's popular. But I'd say now we just use that as a point of reference to see what the perception of everyone thinks is popular or really good. And there's some surprising ones on there that we maybe played and didn't enjoy so much. And then there's ones that we're like, how is this not in the top 100? How do people not know about this game? So it's been a really interesting journey.
That's lovely. So, like, as Terraforming Mars expanded, you and Sam's relationship expanded as well.
The path of representation.
I like that. I love it. So, here, let me ask you about Terraforming Mars. What do you think about Turmoil, the expansion Turmoil?
We didn't add Turmoil in because it...
Well, you didn't.
Well, most of the gaming we do is at two players other than at board game nights. And I love Terraforming Mars. I'm not sure everyone loves it as much as me, who kind of tries to live and breathe it. So I don't know, maybe people avoid playing it with me. But when I looked at Turmoil, it seemed to play a bit better at 3+, which is the only reason we haven't got that one, because...
Good.
Yeah, good.
Because Katie and I play it at 2-player constantly, and we love it too, but we play with everything but Turmoil. It plays at a 3 or more. You really need that, so... The other question I want to ask you is, last year at UK Games Expo, you played in a tournament.
I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm. How did that go?
Right.
Well, I think like positives and negatives. It meant I went back over the rules by competition guidelines and then freaked out that it turned out for about 2 years we played something to a house rule, not to the actual rules of the game. So I'm glad we worked that out before I went. I was extremely nervous because I was there on my own that day, and there were just all these people, and you think, oh my god, they're all going to be really intense, and you know, is this even going to be fun? And actually, I think when you know you're there with 50 people that are all just as passionate about a game as what you are, it's actually a really good experience. But the bit that wasn't so fun for me is my first score got misrecorded. I ended up in the wrong groups, and I ended up just placing a little bit not where I should have been. Robbed.
Yep. Robbed. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, I did. To start with, I was like, I'm never doing this again. You know, I'm a victim. But in actual fact, you know, it was a fun day. But I just, playing the same game over, you know, 3 times in a row on one day, I've not done that before, not one that's that intense. And I think it actually kind of busts your brain a little bit more than what you'd expect.
Is it as competitive? Because I haven't entered a competition, mostly because I just don't think I want that pressure of people who potentially have played this game many, many more times than me. Was it that competitive, or was it just the average gamer sitting down to play it, or are they pretty intense?
A bit of a mix, I think. You had some people obviously taking it hyper seriously, which is good because they put a lot of pressure on beforehand about the rules and sticking to them. But then I wouldn't say the vigilation is particularly existent. So you're kind of self-regulating from that point. But yeah, I'd say most people that I played with were there to just enjoy it and kind of see where they ended up placing. There was a few people that only played the first couple of games and then were a bit done, I think, by the third one. But overall, yeah, I think it had a pretty good vibe.
Are you going to UK Games Expo this year?
I am hoping to see.
Are you going to enter again?
I'm debating it. I do. I want to because I want to write my score. But you know, I'm going to go in all gung ho this time and then place really, really low down and wish that I hadn't tried to prove myself.
We'll have to have training nights, like a week night of Terraforming Mars to get you in into match fitness.
Exactly.
Against us who aren't very good at it, but at least you feel like you've had some training beforehand.
I need Eye of the Tiger playing.
yeah.
So the intensity of playing a game that you love so much three times in a row, you know, adhering to the rules and everything like that, did it change your perception of Terraforming Mars? Like, does it still hit your table?
Yeah, or did you absolutely get burnt out? No, okay. I mean, I went on holiday last year with my family and I came back after a night flight from the US to the UK. And I got home and my partner Sam had set up Terraforming Mars to play on the table because he knew it was my favorite game. I was absolutely shattered. So literally had like a 2-hour nap, came down, and then we played Terraforming Mars. So the love is there.
You know, that is true love. That is true love right there. That's great. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love that. That's awesome. So how about your collection? How many games do you have in your collection? Have you counted?
We have it on an app. Some have been relegated to my partner's son's bedroom that we want to teach him. He's only 7.5. So, you know, there's some games that we're like, these are probably going to be a little bit simple for us to get out on the regular. So they'll be up there. So including those games, just over 350.
Okay. So she's in the middle between Gareth and I. Yeah.
And is Terraforming Mars is number one for both of you, or is it just your favorite game?
It's my favorite. So
Sam got So what's Sam's favorite game? And then what's your favorite game as a couple?
So his favorite game is Gloomhaven.
Good question.
Gloomhaven. Yeah.
Gloomhaven is his number one. And I think Gloomhaven has made it hard to compare other board games against because it's so immersive, it's so intense. Obviously it's very narrative driven and it's a huge investment in time, so trying to compare that with any other game that you get out for a couple of hours is quite difficult, but that is definitely his number one. I think our favorite to play together is Star Wars Rebellion. It's nice. Designed for two players. It's a pure battle. And, you know, it takes about 4 hours to get through.
Genius.
It's fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. And I think we just have the right level of competitiveness and obviously trying to help each other a little bit because anyone that's played will know that the rule book is not, there's no good videos. You just have to live with the rule book. So especially if you're not a, you know, Star Wars fanatic that would necessarily know who everyone was and some of the terminology in there. For me, I'm just taking everything as pieces and processes and places, and I can kind of extract myself from the storyline. Whereas for Sam, you know, it's like he's in the film and he's going to act it all out. And honestly, I think that's why he loses because it's helping.
I've never won.
Yeah, well, you probably watched Star Wars too.
I watched Star Wars too, and I'm always thinking about how the game plays, whereas Kira will play it without really caring. She just wants to win. That is why I lose. Probably the same reason. Too immersive on the theme, not on the strategy.
Just played that Thursday night with a friend of mine here, and I played the Empire, and yep. Yeah.
What, win or lose?
I lost.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happens? You find the rebel base, hooray. They and then they away. Move it. And you're like, well, okay, yeah. Now I got to go find it.
Well, so this is one of our big points of contention, because I played as the rebels the first two times. I won both. So then the excuse, to be clear, was that, you know, it's weighted that way. And, you know, it must be that, you know, with that last action of moving the base, the rebels are set up to win. So I'm like, cool, I'll play Imperials. And yeah, smashed it. So no excuse.
I have no excuse. No excuse anymore. We tried. What's the last game that you added to your collection? And why did you add it?
Added. I'm not sure. There's so many. I think the thing is, we buy so many in a go. I'm trying to think what the last Kickstarter was. And we've tried to be better at not getting too many. I mean, I can tell you the last thing I backed on Kickstarter, which is...
Let's do that.
Yeah. Or GameFound, I think, actually. Andromeda's Edge. So this is Luke Laurie, who designed Dwellings of Eldervale, which is another of my... really high up their games. He also was part of the team on Cryo, which I loved. So for me, I saw it and it was a bit of a no-brainer, even with my I'm gonna try and back a little bit less this year because we are running out of space and we are gonna need to get a new house soon just to have board game room. So yeah, I think that will be the most recent purchase. I think in terms of what was maybe fulfilled recently was Weather Machine. So that may have been not the most recent purchase, but the most recent arrival. And we got that one out very quickly. And that was just an absolutely gorgeous game to play, both in the design, the components. I think Mr. Lacerda definitely knows his space in the complex games and does so well every single time. I don't know how he comes up with these ideas. Maybe you can ask him one day. But
well, we have brilliant. Got him coming on the show, so
wow,
he's gonna be a guest at some point when the dates arrive, but we have agreed to have him on the show. So I think we episode and I think 11 or 12 was on heavy games. So
nice.
We know you're a big fan, so we'll invite you back into the audience.
Yes.
And you can sit and watch. Who learns the games in your household? Are you the, or is it a mixed?
It's a bit of a joint effort. I'd say more, I'm the rule reader. I'm the one that will sit there with the rule book. I think I learn a lot quicker. I take things in by reading and seeing. We both respond really well to the videos. So we'll watch a lot of Knights Around a Table, watch it played. Paul Grogan, to understand kind of the gist of what we need to do. And then it helps for me to sit down for an hour based on the size of the games we normally play. And just go over anything where, you know, I'm not sure, I didn't quite get that bit, because we used to do a test run through. So we're quite big on competitiveness and recording scores. So we'd be like, the first one's a test. Like, don't record this one. This doesn't count. And we would kind of help each other and learn through it. But I think as we've played more and, you know, mechanics can be quite similar or styles of the same designer can be a little bit more, you know, you recognize the iconology and stuff with, you know, a Rosenberg game, for example. So we haven't needed that. It's a test scenario so much, but I just like to be super confident in what I'm doing and not mess up the flow of the game and having to keep kind of flick back and see what's there.
So you had mentioned Sam's son is 7.5. Have y'all started teaching games yet, or... You said you get games off to the side. Have y'all started to teach them? Are you planning on teaching? Or
yeah, so he's on the classics. He's on things like Battleships and Game of Life and things like that. We've started breaching Roll and Rights with him. So recently was Dizzle. It's a little game where you roll dice. You have to try and place them so that it connects on a grid. And it's like the first person to reach this or the person to, you know, find the most gems and things like that. So he's really enjoying that. And I think just kids love rolling dice and they love luck being on their side. And, right. you know, Roll and Write's are great for that. And, you know, a lot of them are kind of that 8+ age range where they're a bit easier to teach as long as you've got someone that kind of knows it. Obviously, a lot of them, you couldn't just set them up and here you go. But right. to play as a family works really well.
So we have a nephew who's almost 3, so much younger. But Katie and I are always looking out for games that we could eventually play with him as he gets older, which is so why I ask. But like Haba games, there's so many games geared towards that 3 to 5 year. I didn't know if you had any experience teaching him those types of games and if they were successful.
We have a really cute one that I think me and Sam have ended up actually enjoying more due to the competitive nature, which we then have to try and hide a little bit and pretend that it doesn't matter who wins. But you're pretty much rolling these colored dice that move these little kind of communal snails around a board, but you'll have a secret agenda of which snail you want to win. Super simple, super cute magnetic tin. But, you know, me and Sam will have true odds on our snails. It's like the Grand National of snail racing. So
nice.
But Mikey nice. Completely unaware of this and can play just thinking we're all having fun.
You are super competitive, so I can imagine these little snails, these little look of you know, competitiveness at Sam when you're just having his family gaming around the table.
Yeah, I think for us that's right, because
you guys play together.
Yeah
so so are you competitive more just with Sam, or are you competitive as a whole?
I think I gauge who I'm playing with, because I think it can be very off-putting sometimes in a group to have people who are quite competitive. I think especially there's so much love for co-op games as well. And, you know, ultimately it is fun. Like, I make my jokes. Me and Sam are very competitive. But for everyone else, it is the joy of playing. It is the joy of experiencing it.
Right.
But you can gauge who is more so than others. So I'd say our dear Gareth here with us today is pretty competitive also. So I know that with Gareth, I can kind of push a little bit more than maybe I would with some other people. But yeah, I think as a whole, I do just enjoy the fun of it. And that is the main thing. But it's also nice to be in a position of, you know, let's really try and track our stats this year and see who comes out on top for no apparent reason other than glory.
Yeah. Glory and the trophy. Do you play any solo games, or is that
not something so much. That, no. I mean, I know that you don't always win in a solo game, but I do need a little bit more competition than that.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I need that social interaction.
In solo, it's
okay, but I do need, yeah, bouncing is a good word. Yeah, just that relational connectivity that a board game brings.
I think it's the pressure to gauge what someone else is doing who isn't controlled by any kind of automa or bot or anything like that, and have to kind of react to someone else's take on the rules or opportunities that someone else spots that maybe you didn't. And I think for me, I learn a lot watching other people. So I might do really poorly on a first playthrough of something, and then the next time, you know, you'll be surprised because I'm watching and I'm taking it in between. So I like the puzzle of board games. I like the strategizing. And I think that's, for me, is why my taste in gaming overall has developed.
Nice. Katie and I are competitive with one another, but typically not. And even when we're in a group, like, I don't care if I win. I just want to make sure she doesn't. Right? You know?
That sums it up. I think Sam's literal words are, if she loses, I win. So he will detriment himself to make sure that I'm not the one coming out on top, even in a group situation. So I'm kind of playing two games at any time.
Yeah. is to win, yes. And there's just to beat Sam, no matter what.
There is that, yes.
We talked about like favorite mechanics being engine building. Is there any games that you just don't like playing, or mechanics, or types of games that you just either had a bad experience from or you avoid?
I think we avoid trick-taking games. I think part of it, because we haven't felt the love at two players. And I think maybe it's something that we need to try in a group to see if there is something there. But I think because we had a less than positive experience with the first attempt, it's just been one we stayed away from. But then I think that exact thing can be negated just playing with the right people. So I was always very much like, I will never do social deduction. I am not a particularly confident speaker. I don't like thinking on the spot. I don't like acting. Like, I like strategy. I like maths. I like things that are very logical. And then I played Blood on the Clock Tower with Gareth and our weekly board game group, and I actually really, really enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure I was made to be the demon on purpose to really throw me out of my comfort zone, but, you know, apparently luck of the bag.
I forgot that. Yeah, you were, yeah.
And
it was luck of the draw. There was no stitching up.
And I think I did okay, and I did really get into it and took my bluffing to a whole new level. So I would always be open to trying things, even if I had a preconception in my head that it wasn't for me, because things are often different when you're just in a different environment.
And if you had to pick one or two favorite two-player games, what would you recommend?
Star Wars Rebellion. Absolutely, for reasons already covered. And one that was quite early in our hobby, but we still really enjoy, is Star Realms.
I think,
again, it's a great card battling game. It's quite simple to just get into, and it teaches you a lot of deck building mechanics, which then apply to a lot of other games. And again, super transportable, super easy access kind of game. And again, a lot of expansions. So if you do get on with it, there's so much you can add into it in that universe. So that would be another recommendation from me. And I think also off the back of that, it meant we ended up getting games on Kickstarter like Radlands and Sanctuary, which are other quite big kind of card battle or deck battle games, not builders so much. But ones that we might not have seen the appeal if we hadn't got into Star Realms first.
I saw Marie Burton Boards playing Radlands at Aircon today on Instagram. And I think maybe I'd seen it or heard about it, but it looked really, really nice. So have you got it?
Yes. That's the production need to try quality at some point. Of it. Yeah, definitely try it. I think both from gameplay and production quality of that one. It's another one where I wasn't sure on game mats. This has been a new thing for me. And Radlands came with some game mats. The design on them just adds so much to just the, you know, table presence, and gave me an appreciation for it that I didn't have before. But the game itself is also excellent and very...
I think it was the game mats on the table that made it pop.
They are pretty awesome looking. Yeah.
The color scheme on them is awesome.
Yeah, that pink, purpley pink, very bright.
Is there any? Are there any games that you've already backed, GameFound, Backer Kits, Kickstarter, whatever, that you're looking forward to coming this year?
I'm hoping that ISS Vanguard is going to come soon. So I backed that for Sam's birthday. It was a late pledge, so ours will be in a later wave. But that's one I'm really looking forward to. We have Frosthaven came a little while ago, which we've opened the box but haven't got out to play yet, because again, we know that as soon as we do that, that will be such a big time sink.
Yeah,
and I think as well, we want the errata to come out, so any of those interpretation issues that have been since corrected,
that's a good idea. We'll
leave everyone else to discover it, and then we'll probably start it in autumn when the weather starts going horrible again.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And, well, if you can house Katie and I for like 6 months, we'll just come and stay with y'all. and play Frosthaven and just play through the whole campaign. We could do that.
That's perfect.
Right? You just have to house us for however long it takes to finish.
It sounds like a really reasonable request.
Yeah, and feed them. And they can work through all the other board games as well.
All you got to do, no. See, Diz and I were talking about this beforehand. All you got to do is buy the groceries. I'll just cook, right?
Oh, yeah.
I will feed
you. That's a win. That is a win. That is a good win. Okay, so have you got any questions for us, Diz?
So what is top of your wish list right now?
Ooh, now I feel stressed. So to get played is Weather Machine. I have started reading the rule book. Diz, you need to teach me that. So it saves me reading the rule book. So that's a game that I want to get played. And my second one would be that my PDS ship out of Twilight Imperium will get its revenge. But people need to listen to a previous episode to understand that in joke. How about you, PJ?
To play is Frosthaven. If anyone's listened to previous episodes, my wife's painting the miniatures. So once we're done painting them, we'll start Frosthaven, and we're halfway through the minis. I think she's halfway through. She just picked up some new snow terrain and things to give it a more realistic feel. So that's to hit the table. And then wish list in terms of games that I don't own that I'd like to buy. Everdell, believe it or not, don't own Everdell.
Don't you?
No. I've played it one time. It's really good. It's just, you know, Katie has never played it, and I think she sees that it's pretty awesome, so we want to get a copy of Everdell. Canvas is another one that we're looking to get into our collection pretty soon. ISS Vanguard, it's interesting you brought that up because our local game store had a copy, and I was like, oh, this looks cool. I didn't know what it was, so I didn't back it. And now I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need this in my life.
You'll be out of the house in about 10 minutes.
Probably.
Car pop into the game store as it's mid-afternoon.
The beauty is that Titan is in walking distance to my house, so which is dangerous.
That really is dangerous.
Yeah,
I look forward to seeing unboxing of ISS Vanguard later this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be reckless.
So here's a question for you, I guess, because I think the two of you, and maybe for the both of you, y'all played Obsession together, yes? Did y'all play Obsession?
A while ago, yes.
Yeah.
You got it in. Yeah, good point.
Yeah,
we hadn't mentioned Obsession.
I had to get it in the game. So, Diz, what'd you think of Obsession?
Oh, I love it. It was one that I saw a lot of hype on before I got to play it. And I'm talking like over a year's worth, I think. I am a fan of Downton Abbey. I am a fan of Bridgerton. I love that, you know, it's the board game version of that world is how it feels. And I think I especially love that the people I first played it with really went all in on the Victorian accents and role play throughout playing it.
Brilliant.
It's mechanically so, so impressive as well. I think obviously everyone's really focused as well on the theme, and it has gone heavy on theme. The extra information books that come in the game and explanations of why it's been designed, it's the way it's been designed. You can see a lot of thought and love has gone into it, but they have also come out with something so mechanically strong and easy to teach. And, you know, the asymmetry of the different characters that you can play, the different families, it's just been done really well. And I haven't played the expansion yet, so I'm already a fan.
It gets better. It gets better.
Again, it gets a lot of love on this channel.
That's right.
Right. So thank you, Diz, for joining us this week. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Show. Yes, absolutely.
I will no doubt see you in the next week or two, and I'll make sure that I bring my competitive streak with me. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please subscribe. And as always, we love to hear your thoughts and ideas. So make sure to leave those in the comments. And don't forget, you can also chat with us both on Instagram @MeepleToMeeple.